I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Pixel Rage, Perplexer, and Katrina Dios. Coming up on TMS... Some people's Mufky Fufky is a sloppy Joe.
Beef loaf.
Jewish Wolverine is schnicked.
Supernatural pudding.
Barbie Oppenheimer checks in.
I can't say that definition of sloppy Joe.
Is meatloaf sandwich in Urban Dictionary because I like really wanted to know?
Roulette is horrible.
Eat more spagaragus.
Poop on a plane.
Turning up my headphones to drown out the stink.
Paw Patrol porn packaging.
This window hurts in perpetuity.
I'm a writer.
Light Bright Therapy with Wendy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I've read the transcript for verbatim, not verbatim, but I've read the transcript, meaning like I've watched everybody read it on the news.
Give it up, G-Unit.
The Morning Stream. It is the end of the beginning.
Morning and welcome to TMS. It's Thursday, September 7th, 2023. I'm Scott and that's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello, and you're right. Those things are both amazingly correct. How did you do it?
I strive for accuracy when it comes to that date, you know?
We
want to make sure people know what show they're listening to and when they're listening to it.
When, you know? Or at least they know when they're listening to it because it may not be when... We recorded it.
That's true.
They know when we recorded it. They may not know when they're listening to it.
I've never done like a proper poll. I should ask when our listeners like grab the show when they listen. Yeah, because yeah, I'll bet it's probably all over the map. We know we have some live people and we have some, you know, get
some
it same
not
day
live
people.
Yeah.
Why did that play? Sorry. But why, when are there odd times people are listening to this show? Are they like, we make sure to do it every Saturday at 4 a.m. or something weird like that.
Right, right.
I would love to hear. So tell us. Let us know. You know?
Be curious.
We have ways of contacting us. You can email us and tell us those things. That's why we set that shit up. All right?
Well, we know you're listening right now, Stephanie. I'll have to come up with my thwip. Stephanie and I have a thing because we're both super Spider-Man fans. We both love and adore the Spider-Man. Yeah. And so our greeting... is a five-word phrase, five-word statement that where each letter begins with THWIP in that order.
Oh, I love that. So wait a minute, give me an example.
It's so much easier than some of them, right?
Yeah. So give me an example. What would a five-word phrase?
Good Lord. Well, I mean, this window hurts in Pennsylvania.
Perpetuity.
That's such a great example. Thank you for making me come up with that one. On the
I love it, though. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to use that one right now. So there we go. Now there we go. I can just type it to her and I'm done.
Nice. I love it. This is a great way. Yeah. People who are into Wolverine have to do the schnicked thing or whatever it is.
They have to do snicked. Yeah, snicked, there's no H.
There's no H in
well,
there.
The Jewish Wolverine does. Schnicked. I'm the best at what I do and what I do hurts.
It hurts. Every time.
It hurts, bub.
Yeah. The Jewish Wolverine. That's amazing.
You should know from you should know from snicked.
Exactly. So we're here, we got a show to do. It's the end of the week. I'm feeling a little tired. I told Brian pre-show why I was up pretty late. playing a video game. Yeah. Shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah.
But that's okay because, you know.
Certainly not in bed, Scott. You definitely shouldn't be doing that.
No. On. There's only beds for two things. Remember? Two things.
Mm-hmm. Remember?
It's for sleeping and it's for eating
and
a
for
sloppy
sex, and
Joe.
For Mufky Fufky.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Mufky Fufky. I forgot.
Mufky
and then
Fufky.
Third is sloppy Joe. Then you have
sloppy Joe.
Joe.
Well, sometimes some people's Mufky Fufky is a sloppy Joe.
Oh, jeez.
Don't Urban Dictionary that one, folks.
Nope. I'll bet that's
I'm sure it's there.
I guarantee it's there, right? There's no way it isn't.
Oh, yeah.
No, hold on.
There's definitely...
I gotta know. I have to know now.
If there's a slide... If there's a...
Urban Dictionary. Okay.
You're making me go back to the Adam Sandler talk, too. Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe.
Okay, wait a minute. It's... what was the word again? I forgot. Sloppy Joe, duh.
Sloppy Joe.
The thing you were just singing. All right, Sloppy Joe. Okay, number one is correct. Sandwich made with hamburger meat and tomato sauce eaten on a burger bun.
Okay, good.
Sloppy Joe, a slang term. Oh, can't read that one.
Really?
Yeah,
can't read that. Put it in our chat. Put it because now I don't want to go look it up. And put it. I'm too lazy. Put
it's it's nasty, and okay. I'm sending it to you now. Oh, there's others okay. later. I won't even. There's worse ones, but I'll give you the one that just the second in the list. Behind okay. the proper right. one, here sure. you go. It's now in our
the one that's
thing.
Most frightening to you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that's that one's not like the most horrible. You know, like that this is fine. It's a little crass, but whatever, right?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
one, again, I'm not telling anyone in the chat or anywhere else. Now that one, you don't want that. That's
oh.
A, yeah. We, none of this is good.
Nope.
You don't want this.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah,
unsee.
Yeah.
Unsee.
Yeah.
Unsee.
I feel like Urban Dictionary yeah. might just be lying to us about these things. I don't know.
No, but that is kind of what I would expect if you were to tell me that that's what. Like, yeah. if you were to say, Brian, come up with a Urban Dictionary entry for Sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
It probably would be something like
this
that.
This would be the one. I, yeah. you know, there are people. Think of it this way. This is a comforting thought. There are people who, this is all, you know, user submitted. So there are people who sit around going, I wonder if I could go put this in Urban Dictionary
today. Oh, yeah,
today.
Right. Like,
you know?
Right.
That's scary
exactly.
to me that like, they have that power.
Like basically, it's like, all right, furnace filter. Yeah. Let's see. What can I come up with?
Furnace filter. Oh, I don't even want to know. Right.
A furnace filter is that patch of your underwear that blocks the farts when they come out. That's the furnace filter.
And then someone will see that. Someone will get inspired and make something
I'm a writer.
Worse. Yep, you're a writer. Well done. You're an Urban Dictionary writer. Congratulations.
Exactly. Yes. Actually, it's pretty easy. Now that I've tried to do one,
yeah.
give me a well-known, like a household phrase or a household object. Okay. Meatloaf sandwich.
Meatloaf sandwich. Give me what?
Meatloaf sandwich.
What's our definition?
Right. Meatloaf sandwich
yeah.
is when Charles A Day was really popular at the height of his career and he'd have two women in his dressing room before going out and singing, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's a meatloaf sandwich.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that works. That's not
How about
bad.
That for pulling out Meatloaf's real name, Charles A Day? Oh, now I'm
Was that his name?
If I've got it.
I don't remember. I would have to trust you on this because I don't remember his name.
I might have gotten it wrong.
It was Mr. Loaf.
I did get it wrong.
You know. He just passed, right? A little bit ago? So
he did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We can talk about him without feeling like we're going to kill him. It's fine.
Yeah, but Steinman's still around. His frequent co-writer of those horribly melodramatic songs.
Oh, right. So people love, though. People love that crap, right? I never liked it. Oh, Marvin Lee A Day is his name.
Marvin Lee A Day. I was close. Not Charles. Marvin Lee A Day. I got the last name right, I guess, yeah. which is something. But
pretty damn good. Yeah, Meatloaf. I'll never forget Meatloaf and his efforts to sing. Whatever. He was a talented guy. I don't know why I said it that way. He's very talented. You know?
He was talented, but I mean, it was all melodramatic. Like there was nothing yeah. that he sang that didn't, you know, that wouldn't work well on a stage with a cape and a broken eye mask.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds right. I didn't know this, so while I was looking for meatloaf, I got a bunch of meatloaf recipes. And
sure.
It's a little weird because one of them is, they have things like glazed meatloaf, air fryer mm-hmm. meatloaf, different sure. kinds of stuff and preparation methods. And one of them just says beef meatloaf, okay. which I think is redundant. Like
it is. Why not just call it beef loaf?
Yeah, beef loaf is better. I like beef loaf. Oh, what are we having tonight?
What are we having tonight for dinner, hon? Yeah. I'm making a beef loaf.
Beef loaf. Cool. Yeah. Do you want beef loaf? Yes, I do want beef loaf.
I'm trying to watch my weight. How about a turkey loaf?
Beef loaf. It's starting to sound funny. Beef loaf.
Urban Dictionary definition for beef loaf.
Oh, jeez. I don't know what it would be.
Here, I'll put it in our chat.
A muscular man who's too lazy to get off the couch. Beef loaf.
Yes. Now, a beef loaf is the little poop that comes out when you pick up a very heavy barbell.
Oh man, little sneaky
beef loaf.
Sneaky nut. Yeah.
Yeah.
A sneaky nut. It's not right.
It's a sneaky loaf. Is what it is.
Well, we missed our call. Clearly.
Totally. Yeah. Look at that. Two. If anybody wants to make a name on Urban Dictionary, I've just given you two definitions that you can use right there.
Today's your day. Today is your day. It's also Win Magus's day. He sent a couple of messages that I want to read because I thought they were interesting. And these came one right after the other. So I'm going to read them as such.
Okay.
He says, and I don't know what this was in reference to, because it was obviously something we must have been talking about. But
yeah,
I don't remember.
Sure, at some point we were talking about our beliefs in the supernatural. So
something, ghosts, or who knows what we were saying. Mm-hmm. But he says, I agree with most supernatural things are bullshit, but are there any supernatural things that either of you actually believe in? And when Magus in the chat says, same guy, do you or your family like haunted houses? So I think these go well together. Because they both are predicated on this idea that ghosts are real or not real or whatever.
Right.
But let's answer.
Or he could just mean, do you like, you know, going into an amusement park haunted house or a Halloween, like one of those ones that pop up around Halloween? Mm. Do you or your family like those? And you don't have to believe in supernatural to enjoy a good haunted house.
No, in fact, I feel like a good haunted house is proof. It's weird. I actually think it's proof there are no such thing as ghosts or hauntings. And the reason
go and hang out in the haunted house that popped up in the parking lot in front of the Spirit of Halloween store.
I just think we have.
That's a callback, folks.
That's a good cause. A 24-hour callback. I'm impressed with it.
Yes. Thank you.
No, it's like, how do I explain this? It's like when you go into the dark and you feel scared and you hear a weird sound, the human's natural evolutionary state is to be scared and wary, because now you don't have your sight, so one of your senses, your key senses, is gone, and you are meant to have the hair go back on up on the back of your neck. But humans are also really want to explain things, so it can't just be my survival instincts kick in a dark room with weird noises. It has to be more than that in our heads. We have to go, no, it's my Uncle Bill who died in a car accident, but before that he had 20 bodies in the bay or whatever. We have to fill in all these gaps to make it to justify our fear. And I think that a good haunted house, when they're the best, they're the ones that just prey on your instincts. It's just your instincts.
Yeah, right. Just that feeling, the dopamine rush you get when the hairs go up on the back of your neck.
Yeah. It's never like, oh, if this was a real haunted house.
Oh, gosh, this is real. Even though there's a dude who sometimes works at the Hardee's who's carrying around a chainsaw with a rubber mask on his face, I believe he might actually be a ghost.
I mean, so to answer his question, I do believe that there are unknown things in this universe that if I came across one, in its infinity, because it's so huge, that I would be like, whoa, I don't know what to make of this. It's like, what's that old phrase about science and magic? It's always magic until you figure out how it worked, and then it's science after. It's some phrase. I forget the phrase.
Sure, okay.
But the idea is indistinguishable from magic until you know how it works or something.
So give me an example of something that... Or is it just the unknown? There's no way of saying, well, it would be this brand, but there's no way of saying what it could be.
For me, it's like I need I guess what I'm saying is is there a possibility that something could come along that would be at least seen as supernatural, that I would go, oh, okay, I guess I do believe in that, because look at that happening right now in front of me. But that's the point. I am a evidentiary kind of person. I need you can't just come in and go, last night I was visited by a ghost. His name was Carl and blah, blah. I can't, that's not evidence. That's you telling me a story.
No. Right, exactly. And chances are we could explain that story with wind or electrical short in the house, that sort of thing.
Any number of things. It's like, I have a, well, I won't get into that because I'll get in trouble, but I know some people who, you know, are certain ghosts exist and they swear they've seen them.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure that they got weird sleep issues. And
well, Tina is one of those that, you know, she believes that the ghost of her grandfather did a couple things to mess with her because he was always kind of a prankster. And so there was a time that I wasn't home that a door suddenly slammed or a light went off or a Christmas ornament that was particularly his started moving on the tree when no other Christmas ornament on the tree moved.
Yeah.
She, you know, she wholeheartedly believes that. I respect that. Of course, I love her and I
sure.
I would never try and talk her out of that. I am a complete and total skeptic, but I'm open-minded. If, you know, I have never seen any evidence that anything supernatural exists, but I'd be open to the proof if somebody said, well, actually, Brian, we do have some proof. And if it's, you know, irrefutable, then of course I'd go along with it and say, oh, there we go. All right, now I believe in it.
Yeah, that's all I've ever asked for. Give me some proof and then...
Yeah.
And I don't mean just like, prove it you can't. Not like that kind of proof.
Right. I think if there's anything along those lines, and really, I think if you really pinned me down and said, do you really believe it, Brian? I'd probably say I wouldn't, but just surface level, I kind of believe in luck. I think that that comes in waves and phases. I think, but really, again, like if you said, Brian, do you really believe in luck? I'd say, no.
Well, I mean, you might
I want to believe in luck. Or like when I'm doing really well at the craps table, it's like, all right, I'm lucky. I'm doing all right. I got some luck going. Even though right down I'm thinking, no, it's really just, you know, the dice have no memory. There, it's, you know, the fact that a seven hasn't come up in a long time just basically means that it hasn't come up and the dice haven't rolled it.
See, now I think that you've illustrated this really well because we all have what we want.
There's a desire to believe in something,
right?
Like that.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, luck's a good one because that's you can't deny this feeling that you would get if you're playing blackjack and you've got six hands in a row. Mm-hmm. That would be like, whoa, you would have to, your brain would start to ascribe this to something. Even if you couldn't really pin it on anything, you would still want to say, whoa, look at the roll I'm on. I'm not stopping now. I mean, that's half the reason casinos make so much money because people are like, well, I'm on a roll. I got to keep going.
I can't stop now. Oh, no, I had one that fell. Or that's the whole reason that roulette tables have that screen that tells you what the last 20 spins of the roulette wheel were, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, you know, seven, you know, black three or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't need to explain what roulette wheel numbers are. but it shows you that list. So as somebody's walking by, they look over and say, whoa, there have been like 16 reds in a row.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to run up there and put a bet on black because a black has to be the next one, has to come up black.
Right.
It's like, nope. Nope, it's
doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it's almost a 50-50 shot, but because of the two little green spots, or three if you're European, or what is it? There's single, double, and triple zero that are green. I can't remember because roulette's horrible. Roulette is one of the worst odds in the...
Is it? I didn't know that. Is it bad odds compared to other
bad
stuff?
Bad odds, roulette.
What did you say was the... You've told us this before. Is it the worst odds, or is there something
else?
No,
the worst odds, I believe... And we'd have to consult the Wizard of Odds, but the worst odds is the upright Wheel of Fortune machine that's got all the dollars laminated in, or actual bills laminated into the surface, and you spin it, and it's like, oh, a $5 bill, oh darn, and you have to put your money on the what you think, which denomination
it's going to land on. Yeah,
it's going to land on. That's the worst odds.
That seems.
They say that blackjack in a casino that A allows for surrender. And, big wheel. I guess that's called a big wheel, Amish Overlord. So blackjack that allows surrender, and maybe that's it. Is that the only?
What does surrender do? Just let you not
surrender lets you get half of your bet back after you see the dealer's up card. So if the dealer's showing an ace and you've got a crap hand, you can surrender, get your half your bet back, and that way if the dealer does have blackjack, you won't take all your money.
Oh, it's like that's a little bit like folding in poker, I guess, kind of, right?
Kind of, yeah. It's basically, right, you're folding before the final reveal.
It makes sense.
And it's I've rarely seen people do it. No, it's different from insurance, Jinx. Because insurance...
Actual insurance is also a bit of a gamble, but we'll not talk about that.
It's another bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is insurance? Like, you stay in the game, but you're paying... Oh, no. Insurance... Maybe insurance... You're putting more money in for insurance, aren't you? Or...
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of this game, insurance.
No, insurance is a thing in blackjack.
Oh.
So if the dealer does pop up an ace...
Okay.
I know that it's a sucker bet... But how does that work?
I didn't know about any of these terms. I just thought it was...
A side bet offered to the player if the dealer's up card is an ace is insurance against the dealer's hand being blackjack. So yeah, you do pay a little bit more. And
so it is like insurance.
It is like insurance. And so basically you just get paid 2-1 if the dealer has blackjack.
Yeah. You like a good blackjack? You like that when you play?
I do like playing blackjack. Yeah. I like blackjack and Paigo poker are really good if you just want to sit at a table and get free drinks. Because they can go really slowly. Mm. And I kind of always get frustrated when if I can, I like to get the third base spot on a blackjack table, which is the you've got like a little half circle of people on the blackjack table and then the dealer in kind of the center of this arc. And he goes from the dealer's perspective, left to right. So the person in third base is the last person to make any changes to the status of the deck before the dealer takes cards and the game is paid out.
Mm.
So you don't want somebody in there who is not going to hit on 16 when there's, when they have a card that when the dealer is showing a bust card, for example.
Sure.
When the dealer's not showing a bust card.
No.
This would be a great gambling podcast right here. But anyway, I like sitting in third base because I like to be the last person. I like to be the person that kind of helps determine whether or not the whole table wins or loses. Because I play right down the line the quote unquote perfect blackjack strategy, which is the card that you can buy in most casino gift shops that you can even have on the table that tell you, oh, you have this, dealer has this, you hit. Dealer has this, you have this, you stand.
I didn't realize it makes sense to me now that I hear it, but I didn't realize your order of play mattered or can make a difference on your strategy.
It can make a difference. And it's only, and it's again, it's one of those things where you only notice it when it goes south.
Yeah.
TV's Travis says all Scott is hearing right now is a muted trombone. So I'm basically the peanuts.
I'm fascinated by this because I've never. I always thought it was just sit down closest to 21. Like it didn't get any more complicated than that. All these terms I never heard
really,
of.
And technically, it doesn't because again, with that third base position, you only are aware of it when things go bad and when the third base player should have taken the car that the dealer then takes and wins the game and takes everybody's money.
Right. Right.
So
that makes it sound rigged, but it's not rigged. It just sounds
not.
Rigged.
No, it, yeah, it's,
I mean, it's in their favor.
There's a house edge.
Yeah,
it's always
house edge.
Everything, yeah. Everything in the casino is geared to make the casino money, but,
that's true. Yeah. Remember that kids when you go there and if you have a streak of luck, great, enjoy it. But don't ascribe it to some magical being that's helping
exactly.
you win. You know?
Exactly.
That's
and to answer Winmegas' second question half an hour later, I do like haunted houses. The best ones I ever went to were in Knott's Berry Farm when they turn it into Knott's Scary Farm at night in October.
Did that years and years ago. It's very good.
Oh, so good. And they just basically have a bunch of different haunted houses set up and you just go through them and they're fantastic.
Yeah, I like them. I'll even like a local one. There's this one called Tower of Terror? No, that's the name of the Disneyland ride. Something close to that.
It's the name of the Disney World ride, but
right. But there was
Disneyland anymore.
Oh, that's right. They changed it to it's Guardians now.
Guardians now.
But anyway, it was like a a big old building downtown that was going to get torn down, and instead somebody swooped in, bought it, got it up to code, and then converted it to a big walkthrough thing. And it's there all year, but they they don't run it except for certain times of the year. So during the fall.
But they've like kept it from getting demolished.
Yeah, and it's cool. Wow. It's freaking rad in there. I'm not going all the time. I'll go. I'm kind of neither here nor there. It's like, hey, yeah, we got free tickets to the haunted house. You want to go? Yeah,
I'll exactly. Go. But I don't say, oh, hey, hon, this weekend is the weekend that the Tower of Horror opens up. We got to go.
Yeah. And by the way, on the larger question of supernatural things, I am open to anything. Like Brian said, mm-hmm. I just don't see any evidence of anything. It's just like, it's fun to talk about. We make movies about it. I love genre movies and comics and TV and stuff. Like all that stuff is great. You know, we love our Marvel and our DC content. That's full of supernatural stuff that would never happen. So obviously humans like it. We like to explore that. It's fun, but I've never been at dinner and had some ghost walk up and grab my hand and say, eat more asparagus. Why can't I say asparagus? Eat some more asparagus, they say, and leave my hand, you know, lead my hand to the bowl of asparagus, that sort of thing.
Another slice of beef loaf.
You know you want more beef loaf. I'm the ghost of beef loaf. Anyway,
the ghost of beef loaf.
Thank you, TRPW, for that. I'm sorry, Winmegas. TRPW, I have to thank for a different thing. He sent a quiz in for Brian, and we're going to do it real quick.
All right.
I got to pull up the data here. Okay. You can't see it. Okay.
That'd be bad.
Here's what he said. He said, I was at the literary quiz the other weekend. The music roundtable had a couple of questions that might stump Brian. So here we go.
Probably will.
Question number one. If you get something right, we'll give you one of these. If you get it wrong, all right, you know the drill.
Okay, yep.
Question number one, the song Wild Boys by Duran Duran, a band you just saw in concert, is based on a novel of the same name by which Beat Generation author? So there is a Wild Boys song that's based on a book, a novel by the same name. Who wrote that novel?
Interesting. Okay. Didn't know this. But let's see. I mean, Beat Generation novelist, I would go with, Hunter S. Thompson considered Beat? Who was that era?
It was definitely that era. You're in the right zone for sure.
Yeah. Kurt Vonnegut or, Slaughterhouse-Five.
I'll give you a hint. They made a movie of this that had Peter Weller in it, if that helps. The guy that played RoboCop was in it.
Yeah. Am I not naming the author? I'm naming the book.
You're naming the author. Let's see. There's a Beat Generation novel. I'm giving you. It's kind of the wrong hint. It's the same thing though. So you're giving me the author, but he also. Here's the hint.
The guy who also wrote a movie that Peter Weller was in.
And I don't think he'd give you away if I told you what that novel was. It's a different novel. Wild Boys, but it was Naked Lunch. Does that help you at all?
Oh, Naked Lunch. Yeah, which is the one that David Lynch, did the movie for, and the. Was it not David Lynch? What am I thinking? I'm thinking of a different thing.
It's the other guy who does gross stuff, the controller guy.
Yes. Yes.
Existenz guy.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm not going to get caught on that. Naked Lunch was written by... shoot. I'm not going to remember it, and I'm going to kick myself as soon as you say it.
The answer is... Yeah, ready? You want me to give it to you? I can give it to you.
Go ahead. Yep.
William Burroughs. Right. It's a hard one to remember, but yeah, he did. Yes. He also, Naked Lunch featured Steely Dan, which also inspired the rock name or the band Steely Dan. Do not ask.
Steam Powered Dildo.
Yeah.
Steely Dan.
Yeah. I don't know if the movie Naked Lunch had, if it featured a steam powered dildo or not.
I mean, featured, included, I think. I think there was a steam powered dildo.
Okay.
Yeah, Cronenberg was the, right.
Cronenberg. There it is. David Cronenberg, psychopath, that guy. All right, here's one
off
for you.
A great start. Yeah.
Question number two. There's really only two of these, so this is easy.
Yeah, okay. That is more of a literary question than a music question.
You're right.
I was hoping it was going to be, what was the name of the concert film where that featured the debut of Wild Boys?
And you would know that.
Arena.
Yeah, you would know that. All right, here's number two. The Kenny Rogers / Dolly Parton song, Islands in the Stream.
Yep.
Islands in the Stream.
Which is not really there. I mean, they covered it. They're not the original artists.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one I would have never
guessed. The Bee Gees, my friend.
What?
That was a Bee Gees song before it was a Kenny and Dolly song.
Oh, I can hear it kind of now that you say that. I mean, yeah. I could hear them doing that.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown.
I might have actually heard it now that you say it.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that version. All right.
I know. I need to. Red Fraggle's reminding me. I need to make the T-shirt. The T-shirt's gonna say, "Did you know that was a cover?"
Yeah, that's
basically
a great
it's just
shirt.
Gonna be, that's all it says.
Yeah. That's a great. You know, Coverville's Phase 10. The new shirt should say that.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Anyway,
so
anyway,
Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream takes its title. Apparently, a different band took the title, but anyway, it takes its title from a novel by which Nobel Prize-winning author who died in 1961. And your hint is dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say it's the writer of Call of the Wild. And that writer's name is... That writer's name is Jack.
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 Off. Jack Lord?
Jack.
Was it? No, that's an actor. Jack Lord is an actor.
Jack, oh my God, who did Call of the Wild? Who wrote Call of the Wild? Jack, my trivia team is hearing this right now. They're like, okay, well, we need to find a replacement for Brian. Jack London.
Jack London. Let's find out if that is correct, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. It was Ernest Hemingway. And the reason I said
Ernest
dogs
Hemingway.
Is he loved his dog. So it's a little
He
obscure.
Did love his dog. Yeah. I mean, Call of the Wild also. Jack London loved his dog too. Oh, Jack London died in 1916. Wow. Okay.
Oh, what? Really?
Wow. That's way earlier than I thought Jack London died.
I thought you were going to say.
I thought he like, still was writing in.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought you were going to say like 85 or 89 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that's how old Jack, what is it? Jack London?
Jack London
was.
Yeah.
I keep saying Jack Lord. Well, anyway, congratulations, Brian.
Ernest
you
Hemingway.
You got both wrong.
Skunked.
Yeah.
Skunked that one, which is fine.
Yeah.
That is a good music literary quiz, though, because there are so many novels that take their names from, or songs that take their names from novels.
He says in a P.S., we came in third in the quiz. This TRPW. We were a team of two ordinary, and most other teams had six people, and we were made up of writers and people in book publishing. The winning team featured Mick Herron, who wrote the books behind the Gary Oldman Slow Horses TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you watched that yet? By the way,
yes, I watched the first season. I haven't seen the second that's out now.
That's so good.
I loved it. Yeah.
Oldman plays such a great but despicable character.
No, it's like I don't even know what to compare it to. It reminded me of something the whole time I watched it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I couldn't tell you what it was. So I guess it's just him. But there was something about his portrayal that was like, kind of unlike other things I've ever seen him do. He's really good in that.
He is.
I mean, he's good in everything, but whatever.
He's good. I can't name a bad Gary Oldman thing.
I'm trying to think if I can. I'm sure he's been in bad movies, but he's never bad in them.
No. I mean, I remember seeing him in, the first thing I ever saw him in was Sid and Nancy, and I liked him better than the real Sid Vicious. When I see, like, you know, the great rock and roll swindle, and I see the real Sid Vicious, I'm like, he's not as good as Gary Oldman.
The guy he played is not nearly as good as the guy playing.
Exactly.
Yeah. To me, it's like, let's see, what was the first one I ever saw him in? I think it was probably The Professional. Like, I saw him later.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I didn't see any of that early stuff, but I still, when he turns around and says, like they said, if you want us to kill boss or whatever, and he turns around and yells, everyone!
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Just makes me shake in my boots. So good. Anyway, that's good stuff. Let's now do some news for the day.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
It's time for news. And hey, it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Wow, it's going to be a triple tribute. Tribute. Nope, can't do it. Celebrating the music of three musicians that we lost in the last week or so. Of course, Jimmy Buffett, Steve Harwell, a little bit of Smash Mouth, and Gary Wright. Covers of and by all of those artists today on Coverville. Aside from Gary Wright, you know, I can't say I used to be a big Jimmy Buffett fan. Like in the late 80s and early 90s, I had a friend named Donnie, and Donnie was like beach guy. And he and I would listen to Jimmy Buffett all the time. And I think I just got burnt out on all the Jimmy Buffett stuff.
Yeah.
you know, Smash Mouth, that first album had their moment, but then Steve started getting really weird and doing stuff, so it kind of became like a, maybe I'm not a big fan of Smash Mouth anymore. And then, but Gary Wright, I've always really liked, and his two big hits were Dreamweaver and Love is Alive. And so you'll hear covers of both of those today on the show.
Nice, very nice. Check those out, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a story that everybody sent me, but I'll give Andy credit because he posted it in our Discord, and I thought, you know what? We'll use our Discord news posts before anyone else. But thank you for the hundreds of people who sent this story.
Yes, I mean, this is basically you sent this because it's Scott's worst fear factor 11, factor 100,
cranked up to whatever you can crank it up to. A Delta flight, and I fly Delta when I fly. Mm-hmm. I like Delta.
Because it shows.
Forced into an emergency landing by a passenger's diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
This guy, and the way they describe it is up and down the plane. Quote, this is a biohazard, unquote, says the pilot.
Oh, my God.
This one going from Atlanta to Barcelona. Long flight, too. Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, forced to turn around and make an emergency landing after a passenger, quote, had diarrhea all the way through the plane. Now, I've seen, it's not on this link, but I've seen video. It just showed up on TikTok yesterday.
Wes, in the chat room, it's Burgess Diesel, everybody. Oh, get your pics in, Wes.
Yeah.
Says the audio is great. So do you have any audio?
I don't think I do. Dang it. But now that he's got it, maybe I can...
Yeah. Because I'm really curious, while you're finding that, I'm curious as to what this means. Like, they're in their seat. They have diarrhea. They crawl out. Run up and down the plane trying to get to the bathroom.
Kind of.
And it's just going, oh,
it's everywhere.
God.
It's all over the place. It's all up and down the aisle. And the video I saw showed it. This was after the fact while they were cleaning. Somebody shot video.
Oh, my God. I just basically have to go into hiding.
Yeah. Like, what would you do? If you were sitting there, what would you do internally, mentally?
If I'm the person who's having this problem.
Oh my gosh, dude! Can you?
Or if I'm somebody else on the plane, what do you?
Let's say you're the other person on the plane. What do you do if you're just someone who's witnessing this and you realize what's happening and you're on this flight above the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you create a wall around your life and?
Oh God! I travel with a mask, so I would absolutely put the mask on, and I think I'd put I'd ask the. Flight attendant, if they've got anything like in any sort of snack food, maybe peanut butter or something. They probably can't do peanut butter because of allergies, but something that I can put, smear a little bit inside the mask so that I'm smelling peanut butter and not smelling poop. You know, like do you have a mint that I could just put inside the...
Yeah, I'd want something like that. I'd put headphones on. I would crank my headphones up. I would try to block the world out.
Vapor-Rub, if you happen to have any Vicks Vapor-Rub handy, that's what coroners use. They put some of that on their upper lip, and it masks the smell of the stuff that they're doing.
I would die.
But if you're the dude that this is happening to, I mean, once that plane lands, there is nobody by that name. I'm living in a different city. Yep. I don't care. Maybe my stuff is still at my house. I'll start a new life somewhere else, but I'm not going to be... I'm not Brian Ibbett anymore. I am someone else.
Self-imposed witness protection program. Yeah. That's what I would do. I would get the F. I would never.
I hear this story and not think about the guy in the high roller in Vegas that we saw the aftermath of, who was furiously cleaning his pants in the bathroom of the high roller because for 30 minutes he was stuck on that thing and couldn't
hold it. Yeah, it happens, but I don't want to be this guy. Here's what the pilot said. He says, this is an actual quote. He calls the air traffic control and goes, we got a passenger who's had diarrhea all the way up and down the plane. So they want us to come back to Atlanta. Over. And they did. They flew back to Atlanta, which really sucks. They did make it. They got a flight rescheduled. They got there the next day, 8 hours later than scheduled. It is not known if the passenger who had this problem was aboard the plane when it touched down in Spain.
According to Zoe, he was.
Yeah, he was still. He made it.
They all got back on the plane later, including that person. She said, I'd be far too embarrassed to get back on with the same
customers. I couldn't do it.
Oh my God, I know. To be like another 9-hour flight or however long it is from Atlanta to Barcelona. It's like, nah, I'll catch the next one. Thanks. Yeah, you know what? I don't even think I really want to go to Spain anymore.
I'm going home, I'd say. I really right, would. Exactly. Especially if I lived in Atlanta and they flow back there, I ain't getting on that plane.
Yeah.
I may have lost.
How was Barcelona? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They decided not to go. By the way, my new name is Frank.
Frank.
Diarrhea.
Yeah. It's rough stuff. I feel bad. I feel a little bad for the guy, but also whatever. I don't know what I would do. This is all just a nightmare. Absolute freaking nightmare.
Absolutely.
The only thing worse than this is if they couldn't get out of the plane because the tarmac was, you know, full of traffic.
Right. There was another plane at the gate. Well, we're just waiting in for another gate to open up. And
I just don't know how long I could handle it. How long could I handle it? I would have to compartmentalize in ways that I don't think my brain currently allows.
But you agree that between being someone on the plane versus being that dude.
Yeah. Oh, I'd way rather be someone on the plane and not the dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Like that poor guy.
Yeah,
oh,
I think.
Gosh.
Okay, like in order of who I wouldn't want to be, at the top is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Second is the flight attendants.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the cleanup crew, then the flight attendants, and then another passenger.
I'd say, even I get more granular, I'd say if you had an aisle seat, you've got it worse than me at the window.
Oh, then a window, unless you're at the window like if he's at a window and you're right behind him.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Oh, the person sitting next to him. All right, so that dude, person sitting next to that dude.
Yep.
Person sitting in front of and behind that dude. We'll lump those two together.
Yeah. But then you have aisle because he went up and down the aisle.
Yep. Aisle would be bad. Yep. And then
middle person and then window people.
And then, right. And then flight attendant and then captain.
Captain. Maybe co-captain. Then captain.
They've got a nice door. They've got, he just has to turn the plane around. He probably isn't smelling any of this stuff.
Man, they're locked in there. Right.
Okay. Well, if you look out the left side of the plane, you'll see me running out the door to the right.
Yeah. He doesn't. Nobody, please don't turn on your weird little air thing above your head. Don't do that because howdy.
Yeah, exactly.
A nightmare. Oh. A nightmare. Let's move on to this story. I don't know what Little. Well, anyway. Little is a brand. They make Paw Patrol snacks.
Lidl, yes.
Okay, so that's why that name's weird to me. Anyway, they make
potato chips too.
They make, they make a bunch of food.
No, I'm sorry, it's a grocery store.
Yeah, this is a grocery. Oh, is it Little's the supermarket? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay,
yeah.
Supermarket giant Little has issued a recall of Paw Patrol snacks after the website listed on the product's packaging, so printed on the packaging, began displaying explicit content unsuitable for children.
Whoops.
Yep. Oops. They operate more than 12,000 stores globally. It urged shoppers in the United Kingdom to return their stuff for a full refund. So Zoe, get on that before it's too late. Mm-hmm. Affected products include Paw Patrol Yummy Bakes, Paw Patrol Mini Biscotti or Biscoat. How do you say it? How do you say that
biscotti
thing? Is it biscotti?
Yeah.
I always feel like
when was the last time you were in a coffee shop, Scott? My gosh.
Well, I heard Tony Soprano say it different the other day, and it threw me off.
Carmella, what are you going to give me? The gabagool.
He's a biscot. He's like
Hey, Carmella. Hey, come into the bada bing later.
That's pretty dead on.
It moves into Popeye territory really quickly.
A little bit, but it's okay. We'll allow it. Popeye was really originally an Italian anyway, so it all works out. Anyway, so these snacks, if you bought any of these, they warn that the product's packaging contains a web address that has been compromised to display content, quote, not suitable for child consumption. And this is based on the Paw Patrol little kids cartoon, I think, and the toy line and all that. Mm-hmm. So we recommend that customers refrain from viewing the URL and return this product to the nearest store where refunds will be given. They did not say how or why the website was allegedly compromised, but TechCrunch's findings suggest that the web domain on the package had lapsed. At the time of the writing, the website was appykidsco.com. I kind of want to look and see what's there. I just need to
know. It's funny that they give us the URL. I love it.
I just need to know how bad this could have been. Well, it's not secure. Oh, right now it's just like it's a Chinese park, so it's parked.
Yeah, you need to open it on your phone because the thing only comes up when you open it from a device with a smaller screen.
Really?
Yeah.
Do that then. Hold on. We're going to use DuckDuckGo's browser here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Appy. Whoops. Why didn't that work? It's not working. Oh, there we go. Appy Kids Co. Boy, I hope this isn't something real.
I bet they fixed it by
now.
You
think so? Okay. I hope so for my sake because I'm about to go in. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Chinese porn site.
Oh, well, yep, for sure. My gosh, what is Rubble the dog doing?
I don't want to know.
What are the Paw Patrol doggies doing?
Asian porn. Good luck to you.
Ow, 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 ow. Why is that repeating? Why is that an animated GIF? Ow, ow, ow.
Yeah, why are there 15 tabs open to my phone all of a sudden? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how do I close it now?
I don't know. That's why I like that they're the DuckDuckGo browser. They have this little flame button, and you just hit it, and it flames everything.
Nice. Just kill it with fire.
Yep.
Basically.
So watch this. If I go search for something, I'll just do a search. Uh-huh. Come on. Although iOS is being funky right now. Okay, I just searched for just nonsense.
Wait, how is Marshall putting out a fire with that?
So then what you do is you hit this little fire button, and then it says clear everything, and it goes.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, I love it.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that new browser is awesome. I love it.
I got to download that for my phone.
It's real good, Brian, real good. We got another story about a woman named Barbie Oppenheimer. That's real.
No.
Yep. She says really? she's having trouble checking into hotels now because of this whole movie business.
There's really a woman named Barbie Oppenheimer?
Yep. Her husband's father is third cousins to J. Robert Oppenheimer, so they're actually related. That's the surname. But her name is Barbara. She does go by Barbie with her friends, though.
Sure.
And so it says this, with the release of the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer, although this is Oppenheimer on. Oh, they mean on, like there's just no space. That's a typo. It's a typo.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The same weekend this summer, everybody was feeling the Barbenheimer fever. I hate that. Mm-hmm. None more than Barbara Oppenheimer. says here in a recent interview with Slate about how she found out the recent Barbenheimer summer as someone who inadvertently has an on-theme name. Quote, I had college friends around the world texting me that weekend when the movies came out with the whole schmear, you know. The bomb and the bombshell, she told the publication. It's pretty funny, she says. It was a brilliant thing that they launched them together. It really brought people back into movie theaters. Was she just like, is she paid by the movie theater people?
I know, exactly. Is she Entertainment Tonight in disguise?
Yeah, it's weird. It says here, when asked which film she liked better, she replied, I can't choose. I'm glad I saw both. As a fan of both films, she's going to watch the films again and even sporting a t-shirt of the infamous meme. I'm going next week with a group of women. We all wear pink and we'll all wear pink. I'll wear my Barbenheimer t-shirt, he added.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm glad I read this story. Gosh, dang it. I was really hoping at least be, you know, I want more about how it inconvenienced her. But instead,
right.
She's just
like. You never explained why she has a hard time checking into hotels.
Yeah. Instead, she's just into it. She's just into it now. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. But like, would she get to the hotel and they said, oh, we thought it was a joke, so we gave away your room?
I don't know.
Regardless of a credit card, whatever. I mean, I'd love to know.
I feel like we're not getting enough story.
Yeah. No. Thank you, Indie 100, for that non-news story.
Yes. The very popular Indie100.com website that we all go to daily to get our information.
Yes. You're no longer my source for... for what's going on in the world.
That's right. Well, let's see if Fox59.com can help us out. I almost read this as Coverville Man, which is what
I know. Yeah, at a glance, it almost does look like it. Yeah.
But instead, it's Centerville Man. Spreads some love by waving at passing cars while fully nude.
Nude. All right, good.
Yep. Court documents reveal that the Centerville Man, Centerville, Indiana.
Was he waving with his hands?
I hope so. He told police he's experiencing a spiritual awakening and decided to, quote, spread some love, unquote, by standing in his doorway and waving at people who drove by US 40 on US 40. Only problem, he was completely buck naked. Elijah Baker, age 42, was arrested on Saturday and charged with possession of methamphetamine. There it is. Feels like they could have included the drug
part. In an unrelated story? Or?
let's see here. According to court documents, they were called out to these apartments and just across from the Centerville Bottle Shop. I don't know what that is. Apartments have an appearance of an old motel with windows and doors facing the highway and visible to passersby. According to police.
The apartments have the appearance of an old motel. Yeah, because those apartments are probably an old motel.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Like, yeah, the motif we're kind of going for is old motel.
That's
with
right.
These apartments.
That's right. Look at this view. You got the freeway right here, and over here you got the bottle company. Amazing. Amazing.
Exactly, yes. With bloodstains and a weird brown thing on the mattress.
Yeah. It says officers reported arriving at his apartment, finding the front door wide open and the curtains pulled away to allow full view inside of his apartment, which included a fully nude Barker.
Nude Barker. Nude Barker.
That's right. The hot
the price
new.
Is wrong, bitch.
Anyway, some real winners today we got here on the show. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk to a real winner, my sister Wendy. She's a Wender. Anyway, we used to call her that. We used to call her Wender for a while.
Wender?
When
really?
She was a kid, yeah. Be like, hey, Wender, get
the
door.
Hey, Wender.
Yeah. I don't know why we did that, but we did. Anyway, she's back. I think she's been back for a couple of weeks now. But anyway, we got a brand new email today to discuss. Since we finished our last little 3-week experiment, and so look forward to that.
Yeah, it's a new storyline. So if you've missed the past few weeks, don't worry. You're
coming to the right. It's like an anthology, really.
Yeah,
all of them will connect at the end, but you don't need to start over. You'll be fine.
Right, same actors, new story.
That's right. So that's coming right up. And before that, though, we got to break it with a song, and I'll bet you Brian's probably gonna bring something like that to the table here.
Chop chop! I have a band called Archive. Probably makes it, again, a little tougher on their SEO, but that's all right. They have a brand new single called Vice. That's not what we're going to be hearing, but they do have a brand new album called Call to Arms and Angels. This one comes out October 6th via Danger Visit Records. They are a South London collective. This stuff is really, really good. This is another single that they've released from the album called We Are the Same. Here is the band Archive.
Sometimes I think we're A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do that again, I'll break your fingers.
Do we get fries with that?
Do you want me to sit on that nasty dragon?
Oh, you can go shit in his hat.
Pretty sure the television's greatest villain is Tony's mother.
Man. Oh, God, yeah.
She's terrible. Anyway, who is that one more time so we know?
Yeah, that's the band called Archive from their brand new album, which comes out in about a month. The album is called Call to Arms and Angels. That is the single We Are the Same.
Another great song to add to your big TMS list.
That's right. So many great songs. If you're keeping track, we're up to many.
Are we? Oh, we're all the way to many?
Holy shit.
We've reached many. Yes.
I didn't predict we'd get there that fast.
We're out of the lots, and now we're in the many.
Oh, that's good. That's
very many fine songs that we've played on TMS over the years. There've been a lot.
You guys, look. When it happens, it happens. All right, we're just here.
I can't explain it. I can't predict what is going to happen. It just happens.
I just realized
certain words trigger it, and many happens to be one of those words. One of those words that will always trigger this voice
every time. By the way, I just realized I needed to delete those two. What do you call them? The images I just put up of Urban Dictionary definition.
Oh, yeah, before Wendy comes
before
in.
Wendy gets here, it's like, wait a minute, what is she going to think we were doing?
Maybe take out that link to the Chinese nude GIF site.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea, too.
Thump.
Oh, you'll find out soon enough there, Wendy. Here's your intro.
I'll explain the situation to Wendy. Don't worry.
Oh, that's appropriate. Hi, it's my sister Wendy, everybody. She's a therapist and comes on the show on Thursdays and helps you guys with your problems. How's your week? How you doing?
Good. My kids all went to school.
Yeah, you're back to being whatever, I guess, for a
quiet.
Certain
kind of like quiet.
Almost empty nesting. It's empty just nesting quiet. For about 6 hours a day, 5 hours a day.
Yeah. How's Abe doing up in at the college? Is he doing all right?
He's doing great.
He's having fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Fun to see him learn how to manage life a little bit.
Yeah. Always fun. It's a good little learning experience. If you start sending home too many pictures of him standing there with one of those red cups, you know,
maybe solo cup,
too many parties, too many hanging out. So I don't know. I'm not trying to make anything of it.
It's time
just
to pull the ripcord.
Yeah, bring him home. Anyway,
home. It's a whole 20 minute drive.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for him and you guys and everybody. I think that's awesome. It's very cool. And also enjoy your quiet time while you have it for this semester
it's
of school.
So great.
We're going to get right into it, and Wendy brought with her... Oh, did I play this for you last week? You made a weird noise on the show. Did I do this?
Oh, yeah, you did, but play it again.
Let's hear it again now.
All right, let's play it again, because I love it. It's one of my favorite things you've ever done, if I can find it here. All right, just so... Wendy's a consummate professional, right? She's always ready to do the right thing, whatever. But then she made this sound. All right, so just remember... Just remember this.
That sounds like the noise that I made before I had to take my headphones off.
And go throw up, yeah.
Go throw
that
up.
Sounds about right. But anyway, let's forget about that and play it one more time. All right, Wendy, let's get to this email. We got an email, and we're going to do it today. This is from...
Okay, wait, hold on. Before we go there,
speaking,
you just have to ask if you saw the news article about that Delta flight to Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did it. We did it today on our news segment this very day. Yeah.
Boy, do they know. People know the perfect article for TMS or specifically Scott.
Yeah, how horrible
I was like,
is that?
Oh, this is Scott's literal nightmare. Yeah. Who is this poor person?
No,
oh
this is my unreasonable nightmare.
And yeah. by unreasonable, I mean, you know, the chances of it happening are probably
it's reasonable.
Very
it's
low, reasonable. But now it's possible.
Now that it has happened, you know it could happen. Yeah.
Okay. Just seems Sorry, like just... a nightmare. And they got halfway to Barcelona before they turned around.
2 hours, not halfway, but also 2 hours.
2 hours. Yeah. How long's the flight? It's like 8 hours, right? So yeah.
But that means 2 hours out and 2 hours back. So I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You know how just annoyed you are with people generally on a plane? Yeah. Can you imagine?
Nice. Now I'm going to be paranoid if I'm in a plane and everything's quiet and I hear somebody go. I'll be like, no, it can't happen. Not to me. Not now. Oh, total nightmare. It's hard to say. We were talking about this when we talked about it. I don't know what's the worst fear, is being on the plane with this guy or being the guy. Probably being the guy.
Oh, being the guy
is absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
Everyone hates you and you have no. I mean, I'm sure there was a few nice people going, oh no, he's living my nightmare. I'll be kind. But I would say most crew are probably pretty mad.
Yeah, people are probably pissed and weird about it. Mm-hmm. And what do you, in the 2 hours back, was he just like, what did he do for the 2 hours back?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
But it's a biohazard, so there's not an option. And you're that far in, it's terrible. Oh my god.
It's awful. Yeah. It's like travel was in the 1600s in a boat or something. It's just horrible. Anyway, I'm glad you brought that up again. Let's talk about this this message. No problem. We got one from a Toronto, Canada resident who would like to be anonymous. And they are a longtime listener and a first-time texter. This actually can be a text. This is something to ask Wendy perhaps later in the month before fall hits. Well, it's a perfect time for that. I suffer from what doctors call mild SAD or SAD or seasonal affective disorder that hits every fall, usually at the end of October. I know you've talked about it on the show before, but I was wondering, is there something I can do now in the summer while I'm feeling great to prepare for the impending wave of SAD I know is coming? I currently take vitamin D in the winter and I do some light therapy, but was wondering if there was anything I could do now. So when SAD hits, it's less severe. Love the show though. The light therapy, they don't mean like, oh, I'm doing some light therapy. And that, she means like therapy with lights, like light-based therapy.
Like light. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, like to simulate longer daylight hours. Correct. And stuff.
I love actual light therapy with people, though, because you're like...
Yeah, just chill.
It's just easier.
Just easy, chill light therapy.
Yeah, we mean with lights.
Yeah. And this my daughter. So funny enough, Wendy and I both grew up in a house where our dad, I don't know if it was ever like officially diagnosed this way or if he just... You know, dad did a lot of self-diagnosis, I think. Mm-hmm. But he said, he always told us he had this seasonal affective disorder and he had these lights that were like crazy bright that were supposed to be tuned just right for this or something. I remember as a kid thinking it was hokum and weird. But I guess there's, you know, some evidence that it works. But yeah, we kind of grew up around that. And I think I get a bit of this too. I think a lot of people get a little down just, you know, they head toward winter and everybody gets a little, everyone's a little off, but I think some people just get way worse. So Wendy, are there ways now? I mean, you probably like hearing this, right? Someone wants to prepare and get ahead of it, you know?
Great.
Yeah. That seems like a positive move. So it
sounds like it's been a couple years, right? Like this is.
Yeah.
Or like enough to notice. So something, a couple things, let's just talk about what it is for a second. And some numbers I thought were a little bit interesting. Like most people do not experience seasonal affective disorder until they're over the age of 20. Mm. Like kids tend not to have it as strongly as, you know, it may be depression. There may be something else going on, right? But the just coming and going of the seasonal depression tends to be when you're an adult. And my suspicion is that you're just outside a heck of a lot less. And so there could be reasons for that. It could be biochemical, but I think there's some of it is just what a kid does in life and what an adult does in life. Like if make a kid go to work 40 hours a week, leave in the dark, come home in the dark and be like, how you feeling? I don't think most people feel super great, right? But there's a lot of variation with humans, right? There are people who my whole entire family. Let's see, Monday and Tuesday, it was in the 90s. It was so flipping hot. You wanted to punch someone. And then Tuesday, it cooled down 30 degrees. So it was 65.
Nice.
Like a little sprinkling. My whole family are Hobbit Nordic people. And everyone was like, oh, I'm so happy. Like just in heaven. I think we should live in Seattle or something. They just love gloomy, rainy.
No.
Especially in the contrast to really hot, right? That nobody's a fan. That's why we live in the northern world all the time. Anyway, but that idea of like, there's a spectrum of people who fluctuate with this. So the other stat I thought was interesting is about 1% of people in Florida experience seasonal affective disorder, which means they still experience it even though it's pretty sunny all year, right? And then it's 10% in Alaska, which shocks me. I thought it'd be 85%.
But yeah, I thought it would be 10%. Way higher. That's surprising.
Right. And our emailer is from Canada. So they're going to just have less daylight in the winter months than, you know, if you live in New Mexico, right? So that there's a reason people migrate south to get more sun and you feel different, right? Because that is valuable and important to humans and how we process all sorts of things. That actual vitamin D we get from sun is the best form. So it's a little tricky when we're like, okay, take vitamin D. It's not going to metabolize the same way actual sun does, right? But it's a start. So it sounds like he's got lots of options he's already thought through. So I want to take this a little differently. Well, sorry, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Let me give you the what it is it?
The definition.
Yeah, that might help just because I think there is a difference between this and regular depression. And so let's differentiate a little bit. And you can have two types of sad.
Oh.
You can have the fall onset and then there's a spring onset.
Ooh.
So it's it's not simply just sun exposure. It's a combination of different things, right? Okay, so fall onset, they call it winter depression. In Sweden, we called it the winter Swede. There's a summer Swede and a winter Swede. Yeah. And the symptoms of depression begin late fall, early winter, and then usually ease during the summer. And then spring, symptoms begin in late spring to early summer. And it's way less common, but I've known a few people just really, really struggle in the summer. And, you know, you've seen some Instagram, you know, everyone who loves the fall, that's probably because they had summer depression. Anyway. It can kind of happen in both ways, much less common because the sun factor really matters, the vitamin D. Okay. So here's the most common symptoms of SAD.
Okay.
Increased sleep and daytime drowsiness.
Mm.
That's also just aging.
Yeah.
Boy, then I think of,
teenagers.
Brian is very sad. So am I.
I'm very sad.
Yeah. I feel very sad right now.
Exactly. Loss of interest in pleasure and activities formerly enjoyed. That's probably more important than the sleepiness.
Yeah. And I would say that one is the one that's a marker for me because during the rest of the year, there are things I love doing. And when that kicks in, those things don't sound fun to me at all. It's just like, ugh, I don't want to play that, do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Right. Yeah. Okay. So another symptom is social withdrawal or increased sensitivity to rejection, irritability and anxiety, feelings of guilt and hopelessness, fatigue, low energy levels, decreased sex drive, decreased ability to focus or concentrate, trouble thinking clearly, increased appetite, especially for sweets and carbs, weight gain, physical problems such as headaches. And the symptoms tend to come back and then improve about the same time every year.
Hmm.
That's rather than it's ongoing or it's a 2-week period and it's alleviated. It really does cycle like with the seasons, right?
So even though you have some of this nebulous fringe to it, it is recognized as a thing, right? Like it's not like this, we're not talking about, I got the vapors or something. This is like a real thing.
Vapors. No. So I'll tell you how it's diagnosed. Officially. So, you know, depression often happens with lots of other conditions, with like heart disease or cancer, right? You're going to have depression is not the enemy. And I think we have framed it as such because it doesn't feel good.
Right.
But it really often correlates with just really big changes in our life and really difficult things and loss. And sometimes it feels like it's for no reason, but it could be, you know, sort of things you haven't really looked at. So often people will have maybe a down period that's annual and it might be connected to something that happened that time of year, or it reminds them of loss or something like that. Right. And so where sad comes in is it really is just so consistent with the weather pattern or, you know, and that's where they can sort of follow it and understand what it is. So, but it can also happen with other things going on as well as other diagnoses like substance use disorder or other things, right?
Right.
So just like anything, diagnosing and treating it early is going to be key to stopping it from getting worse. And it really takes a careful sifting through symptoms with and your medical history done by a psychiatrist or a mental health professional.
Yeah.
Most people can just feel it and be like, yeah, that's probably what it is. And so maybe we can be helpful today with some of that. But to really know that's what's going on for you, you have someone really sift through what it isn't and is, because it could be other things. Okay.
You don't want to mistreat it if it's not what you think it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you what's typical treatments, and then there's some few alternative things that people like that they can try, and then I'm gonna give you the Swedish solution.
Ooh, the Swedish solution,
which they don't even know about.
it's my favorite Tom Clancy novel, The Swedish Solution. It's good stuff.
If anyone wants to, no, never mind. It's just a really fun Swedish book I just read, but it is really dark and very Swedish. And when you read Swedish literature, you get like, oh, this darkness stuff comes from living a lot of the time in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the Alaska of the world. Anyway, okay. So treatments for either winter or summer depression could include any of these, and maybe in the combination of things. Exposure to sunlight. So really spending time outside or near a window can help relieve symptoms. So real vitamin D from the sun is your best bet, which is why if it's possible to travel somewhere with sunshine, that can really help. And that if that's not possible, then your own sunlight, though it may be weak up there in Canada, is going to be helpful. So kind of building your schedule around being outside when the height of daylight, which might mean noon. Mm. I remember times in Sweden, I just watched the sun come up over the horizon and at high noon, that was high noon, and it would just like go back down.
Wow.
And that is hard. Right. Yeah. So you need to time it if you're going to use your natural sunlight. Right. So making sure there's some time outside. And even if it's dark and you got a headlamp and you're going on a walk in the cold forest or something, that will benefit you. And one of the big things most people do when they're feeling any of these symptoms is they stop moving. Mm-hmm. Right. You start to hibernate. And if you can keep exercising, whether it's just even stretching and yoga and sort of calmer kinds of things, you're going to be better off. The natural response is to kind of hunker down. And in that, it kind of keeps you in that space. And so accessing sunlight, being outside, moving is really important if you can do that. Okay. Yeah, and then light therapy.
Yeah.
There is mixed reviews on light therapy in terms of efficacy. But if we're looking at it cures 100% your seasonal affective disorder, it probably won't. But again, we have the range of people who really, really benefit and those who don't quite meet the double blind study criteria and get as much out of it. So there's a bunch out there. I have not looked at them or done any research, so I can't speak to what are good ones, but read a million reviews. And it sounds like he's already doing that, which is great. And so another way to have that. So one of the things that's happening in the winter is more melatonin is being released, which is why we're sleepier. Right. And that naturally occurs. Like, I don't know if any of you have seen the midnight sun, but you are so wicked physically tired, but you're not sleepy in the same way you are in a normal night when the sun set at 9 p.m. Mm. You are like, wow, I feel delirious, but I should go on a hike because it is so light outside. It's crazy. We are built to move around the sun, right? Like that is what's happening. And so our tendency to go indoors and have artificial light is very high, right? So what we want to do is just try to increase the natural rhythm that works well for your body. So light therapy, you know, you do it for a certain period of time in the mornings usually is what most people do because it's mimicking the rising of the sun.
So one thing, it's funny, I was just having this conversation about somebody in science fiction. Science fiction never shows this. But if we're going to be realistic about long periods in space where you're just out there traveling forever and the ship might be a wonderful self-contained place with gardens on, you know, whole floors or whole decks of the ship based on human survival and food and everything, they would also have to replicate this rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to change our biology in that takes millions of years. We're just going to be up there and then suddenly go, oh crap, what day is it? The star date means nothing. Is it noon? Is it
Exactly. We really need light. Yeah.
It ain't sun. Can you find me by a sun, please?
That's what happens once a day. They quickly run by sun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When you think about what the sea creatures at the bottom of the ocean who never see light look like, right? They have to adapt to that environment. And it's not pretty.
Yeah. No.
But, you know, humans adapt eventually. And there, I mean, we've got people who have lived all over the globe. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of like when the sun finally rises in Antarctica. And just like anyone who's been living there, the level of sun worship, you just don't understand until you haven't seen it for a minute. And then you're just, you're obsessed, right? Because it really is crucial to our biology. So anything you can do to mimic that in your light therapy, follow the advice of your doctor. But like, you know, there's some alarm clocks I've heard people really enjoy where it sort of lights the room gradually like a sunrise. Mm-hmm. And people have found that really like so much easier to wake up to than, you know, of course. Okay. Yeah. So light therapy, a big one. here's the thing. This person didn't say is if they've ever talked to anybody about it, because just the, you know, psychotherapy can be really helpful if you start to have distorted views of things. Cause you know, put someone in a dark space and tell them not to overthink it, right? Like stuff starts to happen maybe internally or in relationships that might be adding to this. And so, you know, stress management and management of thoughts and feelings can be really effective in treating sad.
Right.
And then the final thing that people often use will be antidepressants, just like they're going to do the same thing, just provide more neurochemicals. Access them, your brain can access them a little easier because they're there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the final one. Any thoughts? Do you guys have, do you do any of these things yourself? Well, or?
I know. So I can, the thing that really rang out in my head when you talked about it was this feeling of, I need to hibernate, but fighting that feeling. Do you have tips for like, because when you're in the thick of that, you're just tired and you're like, that couch looks comfortable and that blanket right there, that looks awesome. And I've got a TV and I can just really make
everything
something of
this. I need and my portable monitor. And
yeah, I got my little bag of chips, whatever I need, right? And the temptation to say no instead, Scott, why don't you go out and do a mile walk around the lake or something? That's hard, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that, at least one of the excuses that I give to myself for why I do the rideshare driving, the Lyft driving, is because all my other work, everything else I do is in this windowless basement right here. Well, there's a window way over there. But but if I don't do that, I feel like I'm not getting any sunlight. I will stay down here for 9, 10, 11 hours a day in this basement and not really see any sunshine. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of my solution. And it just happens to make a few bucks.
Well, but it creates a commitment that takes you out of it. And so I think that's smart.
The
that's
commitment's
really good.
Key. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would you have suggestions for those kinds of commitments?
Yeah, like, I do. In fact, that's this is my Swedish method. Actually, you're hitting on parts of it.
Great.
Is that there is a natural rhythm to life that when you fight against so hard, you're missing what it actually has to offer you, right? So winter, and there are places where people never experience winter, but there still is some biological rhythm to where anyone lives, right? I think the Florida thing, like sometimes I have a friend in Florida, we'll talk and I'll just be like, so what's the weather? And she's like, it's freezing, it's 50. And that is their winter, right? Like they slow down, they wear sweaters, which is weird. but you know, that is the rhythm of somebody's life, no matter where you live, rainy season, whatever it is, right? And so some of it is like fighting that all the time is not going to sort of let you absorb what's good about that season. But also just succumbing 100% to the couch is also not good for you. So the Swedish method is a nice balance. And there's actually a Swedish word and a Danish word. I am sure there is a Norwegian word. And I think the Norwegian and Swedish word are the same. And then I am sure there's a Finnish word. Anyone who lives in the northern tundra, I'm sure there's a Russian word.
Oh, I'm sure,
For what they do that compensates for this thing or how they live it, right? Because before the word depression existed, they were managing the light. You know, they were figuring it out. And so a lot of it is hunkering down, right? Following, you know, before electricity, of course, you just followed the light, which is tricky, and fire, and figure it out. But the idea is like to hunker down on purpose. Like there's actually, think of it as the concept of, and the Swedish word is musi, which is M-Y-S-I-G, if you want to Google it. And the idea is that you work all week and then you have Friday is like cozy day. And that's what it means. Friday night cozy. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you eat tacos, which is weird, but we have tacos. And then you watch your movie with your family, or you huddle in together. And people will do it all year round, but it is sacrosanct in the winter, right? Yeah. And it's like we've pushed ourselves, we've done our things, and then we hunker down. And so the hygge is the word in Danish, and you probably heard that too. It's like friends, good food, coziness, like candlelight. Like there's just a coziness to it, right? Sure. And the greatest compliment a Swede could ever give you is to tell you that your event was this word was missing. It just means, oh, you hit it. Like, that's it. It was the perfect evening. Even if it was a party where everyone's singing and dancing, it's not that it has to be quiet.
Yeah.
But it does have to have this cozy connecting thing to it. So the idea being you got to balance a little bit of the stuff I got to get done, which should include moving and being in light, right?
Yeah.
That's stuff you just got to get done. And then the balance is with premeditative, that's the wrong word, but like predetermining when you are going to do the cozy thing, right?
Scheduling it basically.
Schedule it, yeah. And so that cozy thing cannot be by yourself all the time. So that's the other piece of these words, is it's with others, right?
Humans though, right? Because I do it with my dog all the time, but you don't mean that.
Sure, you can do it with your dog, but humans is slightly better, but it's, you know, whatever you got is great. And so it may be that you go to a particular restaurant that you like that has that kind of cozy energy, but you're with somebody, or, you know, you're kind of finding ways to do that together. So another version, like this is the American version of it, I think, is find like a TV series you've been dying to watch, or maybe a new series comes out, and you're, instead of like showing no restraint and binging, what you need to do is that's only what you do on Friday.
Meter it out. Yeah.
Yeah. With your favorite snack. Right. So instead of fighting these urges, you fight them some of the time and then you indulge them some of the time, but you're actually intentional about doing it. And that's just the life of living up north, is that you got to get the firewood or you'll die. Uh-huh. So you have to do the thing, and it's physical and it's outside. And then you come inside and you have the cozy or you'll die. Right. So when you live in places where you're not going to die because of those things, you have more choice, and that's where I think we get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So yes, there's the traditional medicine route, the psychiatric way to manage these things. Mm-hmm. I think personally, because I've lived in that space of real darkness, like it's more about leaning into what it already offers you. And of course, I had a whole culture teach me how to do it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's not hard. It is. But so he lives in Toronto. Is that what you said?
Toronto, correct.
Toronto. Okay. So one of the things to figure out, what is in Toronto that you can put on your calendar that you look forward to? So here's where this intentional planning of your winter, we do this in summer, right? Plan your summer so you can get your vacations or whatever. Right. Intentionally plan your winter. Where are you going to go? Maybe you could go get some sun at some point. Where are you going to spend weekends?
Right.
Is there an in the evening, how might you do this? How can you insert actual sun exposure in your day? When are you going to do your light? Like, just get real planny about it. And you can have some flexibility in there, but you may find that when you're scratching both sides of this, the sad part isn't so strong, because you are actually resting, which is what depression really requires of us. It requires a level of resting most of us are not good at. And he usually does it by smashing us to the ground. The idea here is we don't let it smash us to the ground, because we're going to do a couple of things that are really crucial to managing mental health. And that is sun exposure, moving our bodies, eating enough nutritious food, and interacting with other people. So when you look at those four things, where are you missing something, and where do we need to work on that.
Right.
So I have an example. If you live in the Twin City metro area of Minneapolis, the Walker Museum every winter does this evening where you gather in this beautiful space and for $15 and they show you all the British commercials from, they're like British commercial award thing, and you just sit and watch British commercial after another. It is so stinking fun.
Weird.
Right?
Really?
That's okay. Crazy.
It's so fun. And if you had that on your calendar and you ask a date or get a partner, a friend, or, you know, have a plan, right? Like there is a thing to A, look forward to, and it's with another person, and it's, you have to move your butt to get there, and, you know, all of those different things. Just start building those things in there. And that's enough. And then the hunker down, cozy Danish nights are serving their purpose, right? So it's not to fight it all the time. I think that's where we get in the mistake. We should never feel bad. We should never be sad. We should never have, you know, everyone go watch the, what's that show? Inside Out again.
The movie.
Yeah. And so does that make sense? I mean,
yes.
I'm sure a Swede's listening. She's like, no, you got to move to Florida. It's just too hard. You know, like, I get it.
Right.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I one of the things I noticed last year, one of my doctor's appointments is my doctor said, your vitamin D levels are in the toilet. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, these are lower than they should ever be for anyone ever. And I said, well, I try to get sun and stuff. She goes, that's not enough for everyone. Some people just aren't maintaining it. So you need to supplement that. So I started taking 5,000 whatever the normal over the counter level thing is, every day with a few exceptions, and it almost immediately got better. And I felt so much better when those numbers rose, like it was day and night. So just throwing it out there that if any of you are like, well, I am doing this and it's still so freaking bad, just that might be something to check.
Yes. And the form of it. So there's liquid form. There's like, just do some research on what might be the most bioavailable to you. And it really varies per person, right? Like my vitamin D is always low too. We are just so white. Yeah. We have this shield in our skin that doesn't allow vitamin D in. Right. And so, and also like, I think the numbers are 2 hours is what you really need a day, which is a lot of time. If you're like a working person in a basement, that's a lot of sunshine hours to have. Right. So that's a lot. 10, 15 minutes in the winter, it might be the best you can get. Right. And so do that, but also, you know, you can get your blood drawn and see how much, what your vitamin D is doing. Mm-hmm. I, for years, was just like, whatever, you're just, it's hype. I just use the sun. And then I use vitamin D and I'm like, oh, dang it. It is the thing.
Yeah. It feels genetic. Everybody in our family's got the low, low D.
Cause we all metabolize certain things in different ways. So, you know, look around your family. Has everyone got sad? Well, you probably don't have vitamin D absorption going strong in your family. And for others, this is not a thing at all. They don't mind.
Oh no, they don't care. There's some people with more D than they can deal with. They're a mega D, you know?
Way to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Well, let us know, listener, if any of these things are helpful. And I hope this winter is kind to you and everyone else for that matter.
And one other quick thing, go get a book from the library or buy it online or read it. Just any of the books about Swedes or Danes getting into this thing, because just it's really so fun to read and be like, oh, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna have my house smell good. I'm gonna make good food. I'm gonna start knitting this. Like the activities of coziness, like if you treat them like the treat that they are, instead of it's all day long I'm sitting on my couch and it has a permanent impression of my body.
Yeah.
Right? It's like anything in life. Too much is too much. And so winter, you could start to behave too much in this hunker down mode and it will affect you. So trying to figure out how to balance that a little bit. And before it hits, right, start to really have a couple things in place. Start reading those books and make sure your vitamin D's up. And then, I don't know, go to Florida.
Yeah. Get some time. Get some time in the sun.
It's real safe in Florida. So head on down there.
Yeah. So nothing wrong with Florida. Florida's never anything weird.
Florida's where it's at.
Always perfect. Excellent. This is great advice as always, and having Wendy here is always a treat. Wendy, anything you need to promote going on with Real Steps?
Yeah, well, Real Steps is starting up again soon. We are debating if you do October or November. We did October last year, which was all about scary stuff, which was fun. And then we've done November before. So we're just going back and forth. It'll probably be November, but it'll come soon. I will tell you guys and email people soon enough. And yeah,
bookmark realsteps.org now so that it'll be easy for you to find it and do all that when that comes up.
Put your email in and you'll get notified when we are ready to rumble.
That's right.
A good one.
Well, have a fantastic week and may all your vitamin D's be high. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
My doctor also told me that sometimes that coincides with low vitamin B12. And so I also upped that. That was very helpful. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of in the toilet on my blood results. So I don't know why.
God, I don't know if they told me, you know, obviously they said, here's your cholesterol level, here's your blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if they told me any of vitamin levels. And that would be, I'd love to know that so I know if I need to supplement anything.
Yeah, I think my doctor always says that the insurance companies hate full panel work because it's it's a cost, right?
Sure.
But she's a huge believer in it because so many problems that she's run into with patients are often in these strange zones of like, well, we thought it was your thyroid, but really what's going on here is you're low on this, 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 and this, and those things all caused an improvement. I mean, maybe not in every case, but she's a big believer in that. So you probably just have to request it next time you get a draw. Just say, yeah, we're doing a full thing. I'd love to know all my stuff. And, you know, I don't know. It feels like it's more, it seems like insurance companies would like it because it's more preventative, right? You're going to unearth more things and then catch things before they're a problem. And people in other countries listen to us talk about this and they're like, what? I'm sorry. What do you guys do over there? You have to, what do you do? Insurance? What? Insurance?
That's, you have to do what to actually get help and treatment?
That's so effed over here. Anyway, that was great. Thank you, Wendy, who can't hear me now, but thank you anyway. All right, we're done with this here show, with one exception, and that is to remind people about some programming coming up. We got Coverville today at 1 p.m. That's today.
Yes.
Yep. You've heard all about
tributes
that.
Tributes for Jimmy Buffett, Gary Wright, and Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. Somebody once told me the world was going to roll me. All right?
That's the one. Yeah, I do have believe it or not, I have a cover of that.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Shocking.
There aren't too many covers of Smash Mouth. I have a few covers that they've done that are pretty good, but
Their Monkees cover is popular, right? That was a big deal for a bit.
Yeah, but I'm not going to play that because everybody's heard it. Yeah, have you heard their Steely Dan cover? Speaking of Steely Dan? No, they do a Steely Dan cover. I'm going to play that on the show. Have you heard their Simple Minds cover?
No!
So that's what I'm going to be playing on the show.
Oh, my gosh. The world is your oyster, listener. Tune in today at 1 p.m. Also today at 5 p.m., I have a feeling you're going to hear Scott Johnson and John Jagger go at it tonight. And not in a mean way. We're friends, obviously.
Yeah, of course. What is his, what's his
he is so down. He's so down on Starfield, and I am so up on Starfield that we've just got to find a bridge in the middle somewhere. He really doesn't like it, and I really, really like it. And we're going to find out what's the difference? How come he's so, why is he such a bummer? Why is he such a bummer Barry about this whole thing? No offense, Barry.
A bummer Barry.
Yeah.
Barry.
Yeah. No offense to Barry. Anyway, that's tonight, 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Check out me, John, and Bo talking all things video games. Film Sack this weekend, we're doing The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Did you decide you're not going to watch it again? It's fresh enough.
I'm going to put it on in the background after I'm done doing Coverville today. So I'm going to have it on the background because I need to be able to refresh my memory on the other things that in the film.
I feel like you're taking a bullet for everybody, and I really am.
But yeah. I'd much rather do that than watch it, than really give it the full attention.
It's going to be fun, though. So check that out. If you're not already subscribed to FilmSack and you love movies, what are you doing? Go to FilmSack.com for more. And then finally, Couch Party tomorrow, 10 a.m. This is for patrons, and we'll be doing this in the Discord, the super secret lockout everybody but patrons little zone in there, and continuing our She-Hulk watch through. So check that out tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Patreon.com/TMS if you'd like to support this program. I heard from somebody yesterday. We finally got caught up on all the tea, I believe. And I heard from someone yesterday who was stoked because they have all this tea now. Some of them have not gotten their infusers yet. Those are coming still. but you're like, whoa, this is a level? Oh, yeah, dude. There's a tea level. Yeah. There's these art in the mail levels. We got the couch party thing just comes to anybody who subscribes. You get your pre-show content every day. Go to patreon.com/TMS right now and sign up if you haven't already. We appreciate everyone who already has. All right, let's get out of here. Do you have a song to play us out?
I do have a song.
Oh, good. How unusual. Week. Weird.
Yes. Greetings, Scott and Brian, says Luke B. Excuse me. My wife and I are both longtime listeners of TMS, and September marks our 18th wedding anniversary as well as a special birthday. Requesting a song to mark the occasion for my beautiful and talented partner as we continue our journey together. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
No, it's never too early. In fact, it's right here. Where is it? It's right here.
I can definitely...
No, that's not it. It's right here.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich?
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
There's two of them. One with Ryan, one better. With the guy. Yeah.
That's right. So Luke said, I leave in the Cover Master's capable hands, but some of the artists we enjoy are the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Coldplay, Pink, and Taylor Swift. Boy, talk about a wide range right there.
Wow.
I went with your first one. Even though I'm not the biggest Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, I do like some of their songs, and I really like covers of their songs. How about a song by a band called El Perro del Mar, del Mar, which I think means sea dog.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I believe. This is a single they released in 2016, covering a song you don't often hear covered from the Red Hot Chili Peppers library. Here is Breaking the Girl.
Awesome. We'll see you guys Monday for a new week of TMS. We'll see you then.
Friends come in.
Frogpants.com.
Ah, shiny.
Ooh, okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.